Okay. In Heavenly Places, page 199, if you have the book. And the headline or the title is A Firm Decisive No. And it's, of course, for July 11th. And it starts off with Genesis chapter 38, or rather chapter 39, verse 9. And it says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? We all know who said that. And she goes on to say that there are always those of pliant. Wait, let me get better glasses on here. Says there are always those of pliant, accommodating dispositions who can, with difficulty, pronounce the word no squarely, who are ready to be led away from God by a stronger determined will. These have no interior strength to rely on or to rely upon, no firm principle to save them from accepting evil suggestions and forming wrong habits. And there's a lot of people, like today, in today's world, that is the bulk of everybody out there, the majority, and it's mostly because of their parents. They never, you know, raised them in a Christian household, never gave them any real understanding of authority. And this is why you see those people who are now adults in Congress are out there, you know, pushing everything from homosexual law, marriage to pedophilia. They're actually, there's a judge in Australia. I just, I don't know if I put it on the site today, but, or maybe I did, I don't know, that says incest is no longer taboo. Well, of course not in today's world. There's a no-brainer. And he says, as long as we have, like if the baby is going to be deformed in some way, we have a remedy, or what did he say? What did he say that, let me see if I can't look it up. Wasn't so much a, oh, I did put it on the site. Okay, well good, then it's on, should be on the main page. Okay, he said, yeah, solved. It can be solved, he said, by abortion. How can you solve that by abortion? I mean, that's why I asked the question in my comments. I mean, solving it would mean you'd figure out some way to grow the arm back if the baby was going to be born without a right arm, let's say. Solving it with abortion means you're just killing the kid. But abortion today is just abortion. It's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. It's like that one woman I was talking to years ago, and she was explaining to someone else in the family that it was perfectly acceptable to tell a little white lie so as to prevent getting in trouble at work or whatever. And I says, you know, that's a lie. You can't do that. It's just a lie. She says, yeah, well, everybody else does it. And that was her sincere answer. So what if everybody else does it? It's like the old saying when your mom said when you were kids, if your friend told you to jump off a cliff into the lake, would you do it? You know, and yeah, okay, we always thought that, ah, ha, ha, very funny, ma. But that's the way this world is. If everybody else is doing it, then it must be okay. And especially if you're a child, and especially if you're a teenager who was raised in a household that thinks that way. Because a teenager, they can only judge by what they understand, by what they've been educated. Nothing but wrong habits everywhere you look. Evil suggestions are the norm. It's okay. I remember when I was a little kid, I found out it was cool to be bad. Yeah, because I was a little goody-two-shoes, and I was always getting beat up for it. And I didn't really let that bother me so much. But when I got, you know, older, to the point where I was much taller than my bullies, I found it was okay. It was cool to be bad. Mr. Tough Guy, you know, try to act like that. Because it was more exciting, more fun. It's one of the reasons the resorts are packed on Sabbath day and the churches are empty. She goes on to say that the moral dangers to which all, both old and young, are exposed to daily increasing. And this is, keep in mind, she said this over 100 years ago before you had video games, cell phones in everyone's pocket with all sorts of apps that you can get for $1 or $2. That'll keep you busy all day long. Video games as well. And then you also have TV, of course, and sports and movie theaters. And I mean, there's all sorts of things. And then a career. Everything. Everything is just piling up on people left and right. And it's just 10 times worse than it was when she was talking about it here. She says, Satan is making masterly efforts to involve married men and women and children and youth in impure practices. And then when you get people like the Pope saying that Harry Potter is a Christ-like figure, very easy for Satan to get, you know, children and even their parents involved in impure practice. She says his temptations find acceptance in many hearts because they have not been elevated, purified, refined, and ennobled by the sacred truth, which they claim to believe. How many times I don't have enough toes and fingers to count how many times people have told me they were Christians and they don't understand a lick of truth. You know, they believe that there's many gods, or they believe there's a 7-year trib, or they believe that you're going to be able to live for eternity in hellfire, and that's exciting, because the devil's kind of fun. I mean, think about it. You get to smoke dope, drink beer, have premarital or whatever, and you could still live forever. Oh, yeah, okay, fine, it'll be a little hot, but I don't really think that the hellfire is going to hurt you much. I mean, come on, you're still alive. I mean, I heard guys talk like that on the street. First of all, there is no eternal life in fire. Unless, of course, you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Christ is standing right there. But that wasn't hellfire. That was just Nebuchadnezzar with a bad attitude. But hellfire is going to destroy. And so much so that the book of Malachi says we're going to be walking on their ashes. But that's a truth they don't believe because they never heard it before. And the reason they never heard it before is because, one, they don't go to a church, ever. Number two, the churches they do go to don't preach it. And number three, they've never opened a Bible. And so talking to them is like talking to a wall. All you do is you hear your words bounce back off their forehead. She says, not a few have been low and vile in thought and common and talk and deportment, so that when Satan's temptations come, they have no moral power to resist them and fall an easy prey. I mean, you never notice how the Christian is molded by Christ, and they can't help but to glorify him. They do this, they do that, they walk with him, they pray with him every hour on the hour. And I'm not saying we're like a bunch of crazy Muslims, or I'm not going to say they're crazy, but, you know, I'm not going to say like we're a bunch of Muslims bowing down every 5 minutes to some idol. No, when Paul said, you know, pray without ceasing, it means you can just walk with Christ all day long and talk with him, his Father, as if he's right there in the room with you, because he is. But if you don't do that, well, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. Satan's definitely going to send it your way. I mean, even the Christian has to take heed lest he falls, right? And that's a Christian being told, take heed lest ye fall. Because a Christian is considered stronger because they read a Bible. But they could be pulled away. So if that's true, which it is, I mean, look at Revelation 19 when the Apostle John fell in the presence of that angel. So if Christians don't stand the way they should, and there's nothing wrong with what, you know, I mean, well, there was, John shouldn't have done that, but then, you know, the case is he was learning in Christianity just like anybody else. And so the angel, of course, instructed him, look, I'm a fellow servant like you. I worship the same God. Get up. Don't be worshiping me. But that fallen angel wants that worship. And so everybody's out there just bowing to him left and right. Just as a Christian is easily moved by Christ to do good things, the lost are easily moved by Satan to do the evil things. And they don't even know it. Truth is, half the time, neither do Christians. There's a lot of times that I've seen the Lord's hand move on something that I was doing or you were doing, and we never even knew. Until days or months or even years later that he had us do that because he wanted to be glorified in this particular way, and it would take years or whatever for the glorification to be seen by man, because their eyes are a bit darkened, if you will. But the minute the act is performed and the obedience moves the Christian to do the correct thing, whatever that may be, the Lord is glorified at that split second because he knows the end result. The Christian, of course, might take, it might take them years to realize by looking back, wow, the Lord was glorified that day. So if the Christian's that weak at times, the lost, oh man, talk about putty in your hands. She goes on, we have a need to be alarmed if we have not the fear of God constantly before us. We have need to fear if there is any departing from the living God, for he alone is our strength and fortress, into which we may run and be safe when the enemy makes a charge upon us with his temptations. It is a subject of interest to every soul of us, how we shall keep our vessels unto honor in the sight of a holy God. And it's not just avoiding sins of the flesh or lust of the flesh. It's also, well, you know, lust of the flesh can also be food or even candy bars, things you shouldn't eat or things you shouldn't drink. She says there is no safety for us when we lie down and we rise up, when we go out and when we come in. Satan and his evil angels have conspired with evil men and evil women, and the whole energies of the power of darkness will gather themselves together to lead astray and destroy every soul that is not garrisoned with firm principles of eternal truths. If you don't have the armor on, well, you're just like a soldier on the front line with wearing a cardigan. That's it. No armor, nothing. And the bullets are flying. You're going to get hit. And you're not going to survive. And then finally, she says, the principles of righteousness must be implanted in the soul. Faith must grasp the power of Jesus Christ, else there is no safety. Licentious practices are getting to be as common as in the days before the flood. And again, this is over 100 years ago she's talking. This is our society now. What Noah saw, we're seeing. What Lot saw, we see too. So if anybody thinks we have a lot of time ahead of us, we've got decades and decades and decades, think again. I mean, we don't know the day or the hour. And strangely enough, I just got an email today from someone who declares that Christ Jesus has spoke through them, and I must post their comments on my site so other people can see the truth that was brought forth through them by Christ. And they say they know the day and the hour that he's coming back. See how important it is to stay in your Bible? Something as trivial as not knowing the day or the hour. A babe in Christ knows that. But how many people fell for Harold Camping's falderal? Or the people with the hail bop years ago? Or over the ages, how many people have fallen for the old age, you know, the old trick of saying to them that they know the day and the hour and let's all get ready? I mean, and they all drink the Kool-Aid along with whoever else believes in the idiocy. And all you have to do is read one Bible verse. That's it. You know, it always makes me wonder, like today, the Christians in 70 AD only had a watch for one prophecy. But so did the Jews. Everybody in that city, when it got surrounded by Cestius, only had one prophecy to watch for. The only ones that saw what was going down and realized it was time to get out of there were the ones who read their Bibles and trusted the God that wrote it. The rest, of course, stayed behind and died that day. 1,100,000 of them. Well, it's just like today. The overwhelming majority of the people today don't read their Bibles. And the ones, and the Bibles they do read are, you know, oh, it's much more convenient. Let's get the NIV. It's in today's language. So, you know, there's thousands of verses missing in that book. But it's so much more convenient, though. Convenience is the god of this age in a lot of ways. And finally, she says, the weak moral powers of men and women in this age who claim to be commandment keepers alarm me. Everyone needs to arouse and lift up the standard of purity. I mean, she can't say it any more than Christ could say it. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard Ellen White say stuff like that, and that's why our banner is to strive on to that perfection, because we try to echo those words as well. And then Jesus, all throughout the Old and New Testament, hey, you know, we're not just telling you to just kind of like ride the fence and kind of lean towards the good side and hope that you get to heaven by the skin of your teeth. like some of us that went through high school with, you know, doing a test here and doing a test there and never doing homework, figuring I'll get through here somehow. Christianity ain't like that. But the way the world has, you know, defined it, most people think it is that way. All I got to do is believe and I got heaven tapped. Well, have you ever read James 2:19? Because Satan believes and he trembles. So just believing ain't getting you there. The fact of the matter is Adam and Eve believed. I mean, they had it down pat. Jesus walked with them in the cool of the day. So they had no problem believing. They still got kicked out of that garden, didn't they? But, you know, you got a cross hanging around your neck, a rosary in your pocket, and you genuflect every time you see a nun. Yeah, you got heaven tapped, you think. It's just amazing. But then again, it's the end times. And we were told to expect this. So again, we got a lot of work cut out for us. I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.